Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Morning and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. I do appreciate each one of you that is present with us this morning. What a wonderful week we've just finished, a week of Thanksgiving, a time when we reflect on all the blessings that God has given us. I feel like I have more to thank Him for this Thanksgiving than I ever have. Because in June I suffered a heart attack. I didn't have to be here today. God could have taken me then, but He didn't. He left me. He's blessed me. And I am so thankful, and I trust that you have taken time this past week to stop for a minute and reflect on all the goodness that God's done for you and give Him praise, honor, and thankfulness. So let me give you our church announcements from the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle there on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. And we do begin our Sunday morning Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45, Sunday evening at 6, Wednesday evening at 7, and we do appreciate each one that would be willing to come and be with us. In our services, I know that God will bless you. Let me remind you that on December 21st, on our Sunday night service, we will be having a candle lighting service. If you would like to come and light a candle, have a short word of prayer with your family about something that's bothering you, or maybe you want to light that candle in honor of someone who's gone on, and just take a minute to reflect on their life and what it means to you, we invite you to come. You don't have to be a member. Just come. We'll be happy to have you and partake in this sweet service that we have each year. And then, beginning January 4th and running through the 7th, we will be having our winter revival with Brother Tom Gillum. And we will be announcing that between now and then. I know if you've never heard Brother Tom, you're really missing a blessing. So now, let's have a song, and I'll be back with today's message, trying to finish up on the first judgment we're looking at, the judgment of our sins at Calvary.
Moving around, and
Well, that was the Joy Heirs singing about when I settle down. And certainly the children of God are pilgrims and strangers in this world. We don't have a place here, not a lasting place. We're here temporarily. We're in the world. We're not part of the world. We have to live in it. But we've been sanctified, set apart for God's use. And we cannot ever settle down here because there's no resting place here for a child of God. We can only try to do His will, get the message to as many folks as we can, as we pass through on our way to heaven, and try to take as many folks with us as we possibly can. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then I'll get back into the message today. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the promise that one day we will be able to settle down. We won't always be in this pilgrim land where we are strangers and sometimes at odds with the system that we live in. Father, we thank You for this day and the opportunity to be on the broadcast and for another year of life, another Thanksgiving. Thank You, Father, for the blessed season that's coming up as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He was born yonder in a stable, born of a virgin, born sinless, went to the cross, died for us, was resurrected, is standing with open arms today for anyone who will respond to the call. And certainly one day, and we believe redemption draweth nigh, He will return. And He will stop just short of touching the earth, and He will call the sainted dead from their graves. Then those who are saved, who are alive, will be caught together with those coming up, and together we'll all go and be with the Lord. Thank You for that blessed hope. Thank You for that blessed promise. Thank You for Jesus that made it all possible. Thank You for every listener. Lord, if a child of God is listening today, I pray You'll take this broadcast and encourage them and bless them and comfort them in whatever they may be going through, to realize You're still on the throne. You're still in control of our lives, and one day we'll be in Your presence. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, that You will help the suffering. Most of all, I pray today for that one that's nearest eternity, that You would save them before it is eternally too late. Thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we were looking last week at the scriptures found in John chapter 12. And we began with verse number 28, and I'll read it again for you. Because, Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die, of course indicating that he would be lifted up on the cross, comparing that to the lifting up of the serpent in the wilderness by Moses, which God instructed him to do when the snakes were biting them and they were dying, to take that resembled the problem and put it up on that brazen snake up on that pole, and everyone with faith enough to look would be healed, cured, and would not die from the snake bite. Compared that spiritually to the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross and was lifted up, and there on that cross was the symbol of the one who is the problem, us. He was in a body of flesh. He was a sinless man. He was also God. And He paid the sin debt there on the cross. And so, Jesus, when he said, verse number 31, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Therefore, he has paid that sin debt. He has conquered the power of the devil. And he has made the way that we can come to him and be saved. Now, we looked at several things last week about this judgment. What was the reason for this judgment? I believe there were three reasons. There was the devastation that sin has wreaked upon mankind there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam, the representative of all the race, succumbed to temptation and, I believe, voluntarily took and partook of that fruit so that he would not be separated from Eve, who had been deceived, and ate of it first. And there is devastation upon humanity because at that point man died spiritually and lost his communication and communion with God. And you remember the story that when God came down, the next time he ran and hid from him. And so man today, because of the devastation, is still running and hiding from God. And then, not only that, but we see the depravity that it has dropped mankind into. If you read the first chapter of Romans, you'll find that the antediluvians, the people that were here on the earth before the flood, that is a record of their downfall and why God brought them to judgment. There was depravity on every level. I do know that we haven't reached the depth of depravity yet that they have, because the Bible said that in Noah's day, there was the whole world was filled with violence. Well, we haven't quite gotten that far yet, but I promise you that when Jesus takes the church out and the Holy Ghost is gone, and there's no more holding back the man of sin and evil, those people will be repeated, those sins. And because of that devastation and that depravity, there's a death that's impending. Not the human death, although sin is the reason for the human death. Not necessarily any one thing that we do. But the principle of death that rules in this world, where we live in a body of flesh that is subjected to an expiration date, and it's subjected to the diseases and the sicknesses and the weaknesses of the flesh. All of this was wreaked upon mankind. And because of that, man is lost and man has sinned. God has said, "The soul that sinneth shall die." And yet God had created man, and he was his crowning achievement of creation, because he had the ability in his natural first state to commune with God. But now that creation has been marred. That creation has been devastated. It's been plunged into depravity. And one day it must die, not only physically, but the second death is when one is cast into the lake of fire to be eternally tormented. And God did not like that because he loved mankind, and he did not want that to happen. So I want you to notice the dilemma that God was in. God did not want to punish his creation with hell, but he could not compromise his holiness and his godliness, his righteousness, to just simply wink at sin, and he still does not do that today. He does not just brush it off as somebody being naughty or mischievous. My friend, sin is a serious thing. It's a serious problem. and God's the only one that could fix it. But his dilemma was he wanted to save man, but he could not just overlook sin. He wanted to show mercy to that same group that we just read about. That he just pronounced upon that the judgment of this world had come. So we find in Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse number 19, said, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." You see, that's where we're at before we're saved. Then if you pick it back up in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." God's dilemma was he had to be just because he could not just change his statement about sin. He could not wink at sin. He could not change his mind about sin. He could not overlook sin. He could not condone sin. His righteousness would not allow him to do that. And yet, he wanted to justify man, so he wanted to be just as well as the justifier. So what's the solution? Well, blood had to be shed in order for man to be saved. Therefore, the plan was this. He would send his son to the earth in a body of flesh, sin accepted. He was not a sinful man as we are. The Bible said he was born of a virgin. The whole thing is laid out in the Gospels. Men like to deny it and debate it, but it doesn't change a thing. Jesus was born of a virgin, born in a stable, laid in a manger, was announced by angels, worshipped by the shepherds, and hated by Herod, which represents the world. So he became the just and the justifier. How did he do that? Because when Jesus was in the garden, he pleaded, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, then let it pass." But he said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." What was it in that cup that Jesus hated so much? It wasn't the spitting in his face. It wasn't the pulling out of his beard. It wasn't the beating on the Roman post. It wasn't the mocking and the spitting in his face. It wasn't the nailing on the cross. What he hated was the fact that there was going to come a time that mankind's sin was going to be laid upon him. God would forsake him. That's what he cried on the cross just before he died. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was why sin had been laid upon him, and God had to turn his back upon him. And there on the cross, our sins were laid upon him, and that sentence of death for sin was carried out. Now, friend, if you've ever been saved, your sins were on that cross. And all you had to do was come believing, and your sins will be forgiven. And I can say to you, I don't care who you are that's listening this morning, what your situation might be, where you might be, what you might have done, who you might have hurt, who you might have wronged. Your sins was crucified on that cross too. However, you have to claim that. You can either accept the sacrifice that Jesus made to pay for your sins with his own blood, or you can wait, and because of those sins, you will pay for eternity in hell. Now, when I get to the self-judgment of the saints, I'm going to cover some things that's going to be real interesting about this thing called hell, but that's another time. You keep listening, we'll get there. But then I want you to notice not only the reason for that judgment, but what is the resilience of that judgment? Just how powerful was it? Then chapter 5, 24 said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That is what that judgment of sin in this world did. When Jesus died on that cross, he paid the sin debt, and he delivered everyone who will trust that for their very own. By doing that, you're simply saying, "Yes, God, I believe that what you said in your word about me is true. I believe that I'm a sinner. I may be a good moral man. I may treat people right. I may take care of my family. I may not be a rebel rouser. I may be a good man. But I understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you said everyone that believed in him could have eternal life." So what is the resilience of it? We just read that one. Let me read you Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, if you're a child of God, you are walking after the Spirit. Now, sometimes you may do that carnally, because sometimes we get in the flesh. We let this flesh take back over sometimes, and we're not very spiritual. But according to this, that there is now, right now, no condemnation. You don't have to wait until you die to get this condemnation removed. The moment that you're saved, the moment that you receive Christ into our hearts, condemnation is done away with. It's defeated. Now, I do want you to notice that under the law, the Old Testament law, there was a continual offering that was made, and it had to be done over and over again, because the blood of those bulls and sheep and whatever could not forever settle the sin debt. It could be done in faith to let God know that you believed that, first of all, he required a blood sacrifice, and you had faith enough in his word under the law to bring it. So you see, it's always been by faith, no matter when or where people believed God. It's always been by faith. The Bible said that it was by faith that Abel brought that better sacrifice than Cain. Even in the book of Genesis, it was faith that caused Abel to bring the right sacrifice. It was faith that caused these people year after year to bring their sacrifices and offer them for their sins, believing that they were sinners and needed to bring a sacrifice of blood to satisfy God. But it wasn't permanent. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Starting with verse number 4, says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will of God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What's he saying? He no longer requires that first sacrifice of bulls and goats. But he has established the second, which is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in this final verse, and I'm going to read verse number 10, By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. You see, he didn't have to come back and be crucified again. One time was good enough for time and eternity. He paid the sin debt once for all men. And it's as simple as reaching out and grasping that by faith. And so then, let me see, what is the response of the believers to this judgment? In Hebrews chapter 9, and beginning with verse 11, says, Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? To serve, not only to serve, but also to worship. Neighbor, sin was judged there at Calvary. God sent Jesus to judge sin there at Calvary. That is the one and only thing, that's the one and only answer for the sin problem, the sin question. You can turn over all the new leaves you want to. You can become just as high morally as you can think of. You can do all sorts of good things and give away everything you own to the poor. But my friend, I want to tell you that until you come to the point to accept that sacrifice that Jesus made for you, until you recognize that you're a sinner and you admit that to God and you cry out for mercy and ask him to save you and to come into your heart and to live in your heart and to be your Savior, then, my friend, you are not saved and you will not go to heaven. That's the only way. Jesus said the only way that you can get to him, to get to God, is through him, through Jesus. I don't care what you do. Don't care what you say. Don't know what you've been told. The fact of the matter is the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. If the Lord's spoken to you today, would you just ask him to save you? On the authority of God's word, I know that if you do that, he will. Now may God bless you next week.